Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
And here we go. Welcome to episode number 107. Thank you for being a part of the program. My name is Brooke Taylor, and I am recording this today after a full plate of pasta, dinner, garlic bread, asparagus, so I'm hoping that my energy level is going to be up, but it's a special opportunity to come to you with a special guest today. Our guest is going to be talking about suffering and sickness, rejoicing in infirmity, and that's a tough one, I think, for even the most seasoned saint, so we're going to talk about it, and still not out of the woods yet, but being a trooper, leaving the sick bed is my mom. Joan Mary, welcome, Mom.
Thank you. I'm very, very glad to be here.
And it's nice to see you smile. You've got your color back. You've got a faint aroma of Vicks in the air. And there's also a Hawaiian shirt that you're wearing.
Well, there's a story behind the shirt.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to that. We want to check in, and you've really been under the weather. So first and foremost, thank you for those who have prayed, kind of cast the prayer net to say that you just were sick, weren't getting better. So I'm thankful that you're here. You're getting there. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But right out of the box, something that's so important as we kick off today's episode is the big, big headline of the Arise Retreat. So I want to share right up front, we are putting tickets on sale. I mentioned this the last few shows, but it's here. So Friday, August 11th is the tickets.
All right.
The pre-sale.
What a great idea.
And it's just for the Good Things Radio listeners, just for prior retreatants. So if you're interested, tickets are going to be $410 for the single room occupancy option. This is the most limited. This is a private room. It is a full bed with a bathroom, and those go right away because it's most limited again. Then there are single occupancy rooms. Those will run about $395. It's a twin bed, still a single private room though. You get a sink, you have some privacy. And then there's the double occupancy rooms. Those to me are the most fun because there are so many women who come not knowing anybody, taking a chance, a leap of faith. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know who you're going to room me with. There are so many stories of ladies coming away, besties at the end of the weekend. Doesn't matter if you snore, doesn't matter if you don't sleep good with thin walls or outside of your bed. It's just something happens and it's awesome. So those are fun because you just never know. And then of course you have sisters that room together or mother and daughter. Those are $385. That cost covers everything. It's all inclusive, everything.
All right, cool.
I mean, it's a whole weekend. Light snacks and drinks 24 hours a day while you're there. All the meals, the speakers, the program, the goodie bags, transportation to and from the airport if you're flying in. Massages. You missed the massages last year, Mom.
I did. I moan about that.
It's not going to happen again. You're going to be there. You're going to be there, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the deal. April 5th through the 8th, tickets go on sale Friday, August 11th, the Feast of St. Philomena, our patroness. A lot of people have, over the last year, reached out and said, do I have to be Catholic to come to this event? The answer is, if you're being called, come, because it really is one of those limited retreats where there's only 50. There's not 7,000. There's not a couple hundred. It's just 50 women. So these are women who very much feel like they need to be there. And I can tell you, based on the fruits from the last 2 years, I trust the Holy Spirit completely, surrender totally with His decision on that. And you don't need to be Catholic. You don't need to be Christian. You just have to come with a desire, a hunger for retreating with the Lord. And you had talked a little bit, Mom, about the blessing of an isolated single retreat.
Yes, that was a leading of the Holy Spirit that happened after a very hectic and busy time in my life, and where I called the Santa Clara Monastery that's near here, was able to take 3 days. And it is a life event that I will go back to because of the first experience. At that point, the abbess was a particular close friend. She had shown me the back way to the sisters' chapel, and so
in the cloister where one can go, right?
Yes, I mean it was all very secretive, and of course I tiptoed, but that first experience was all right there and contained.
And that's what's exciting. You just don't know when you sign up for the retreat that you're going to get the secret passageway that no one else has privilege to. And that kind of retreat is different than this kind of retreat.
Yes.
But both have equal graces poured out, shaken down, and it is such a gift. And we're excited. I don't know if you're going to wear the Hawaiian shirt. We'll have to just see. But I know you're going to bring your smile. So, and I'll be there, of course. Father Nathan Cromley is our retreat master. Linda Isaiah, who I cannot wait, is going to be there. And we're going to do a lot more interpersonal stuff. Every year we get feedback and we learn a little bit more what people are hoping to get out of a retreat in this kind of a weekend. We're going to have a guided time of journaling. We're going to have more time that we dedicate to small groups. And even through Linda and Father Nathan doing spiritual direction, she does some counseling. We're going to have a game night. So just some diverse things, as well as, of course, the Liturgy of the Hours, the Mass, reconciliation. So all of those things, somehow or other, fitting it into one weekend. All the info is going to be on the show notes. You can, of course, shoot me an email if you have any questions, feedback@goodthingsradio.com, and it's going to be a fantastic weekend. Also, Ladies Night Out, epic awesomeness to share. But in full disclosure, right now as we record this podcast, it is before the big event. We're pre-recording this. So I was hoping to bring you some sound, get some audio from the attendees, but just with the timing of recording and getting it out in our schedule, it's going to be the next one. So we'll do that in episode 108, I expect to have that. As we kick off, though, let's pray. We got to kick off the right way. You've been waiting.
I thought she forgot to pray.
I see that motherly look in your eyes. I'm not going to forget. Here we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May this be the guide in our lives as we abandon ourselves to your will, O God, and with confidence place our hearts in your hand. Heal us, restore us, help us to live a bold witness to the world of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's Brooks
House.
Ow. It's Brooks
House.
So Joan is in the house. It's a beautiful evening. My belly's full. The dog's barking on the porch. You've got your Hawaiian shirt on, Mom. And I'm just happy to see you because you've been sick. I've been worried about you. And almost down for the count, I think 2 weeks that you've been sick.
It wasn't quite 2 weeks, but it was maybe 10 days. So that for me to be pretty much in bed or staying home because I couldn't go anywhere because of the just feeling so sick and coughing constantly and congestion.
And you are a woman on the go. I mean, so for you to not be engaged in anything for that amount of time, it was, for me, it was scary. And you still sound a little congested, but you're doing a lot better. So tell us what was going on. What happened?
Well, it just started with a sore throat. And then, of course, it affects your voice. And the next thing I knew, it was a cough that got steadily worse and the congestion. So I took to my bed. I think especially when you're sick, but even when you're getting sick, it just feels like everything, your body is like lead. You can't move your legs and hoping that when you wake up that you're going to feel better. And day after day, that wasn't happening. Like everything in life, it is a journey. And then along the way, circumstances change your attitude. So then I started to get, actually this morning when I got up, I was angry. I just was angry. And I thought, I am not going to let this keep me in bed. And I'm going to clean myself up and put makeup on. And I'm going to wear Larry's Hawaiian shirt. And I'm just going to I'm going to close my eyes and pretend I'm in Hawaii.
And did it work?
This afternoon, I am a little bit better.
I wonder if they changed the name of Tylenol to like Aloha, if that would somehow mentally help us feel better. In what you said was so interesting about sometimes our circumstances change our attitudes.
Right.
Because I think there's an illusion that we have that we do have things under control or are in control, I should say. And every now and then, something happens to remind us we are not in control. We have a choice when that happens. We can surrender and joyfully lift up our hands to the one who is, or we can fold our hands and have a temper tantrum. It's sometimes a mix of both. And for you going through a knee replacement surgery a few years ago, in fact, you've gone through two, but one in particular as a widow. That was really hard too. And I wonder if this stage in your life, is it hard, or do you just rely on God more when there's a component of life is different?
Well, there's two components to that that were particularly difficult for me personally. And one was the very first time I was sick and my mom wasn't here. It was something, you know, that you go on with your life, especially when you have children and household and everything to take care of. But that really was like a strong blow, that it's like I can't call my mom and even tell her. Secondly, the knee replacement after Dad wasn't here, it was, you know, I just literally cried because the strength and the humor that he always had a way of making me laugh or looking at the bright side of things. And so the grieving takes on a sharp edge when you're in a circumstance where that person isn't physically with you. You know, we believe that Jesus is always with us, but our loved ones are with Jesus. And so I think they know what's going on, and they are intent on praying that we are strengthened. I used to think they would feel sorry for us, and that whole idea changed. That's not the attitude. I learned that from the book that I read about St. Joseph. I always say it's the silver book. It was a private revelation to an Italian nun in, I don't know what years, 1500s maybe. And so it was the personal spiritual life and physical life of St. Joseph. And when he was going through awful circumstances, and he would come home and he would tell Mary, and Mary didn't say, poor Joseph. They would praise God. They would say, thank you, God, for allowing us to suffer for the kingdom, to suffer on behalf of the Messiah that you're going to send. Mm-hmm. And then
one of the quotes I think of often use in just about every speech I ever give is a John Henry Cardinal Newman, and that is, God created me for a purpose. And whatever it is, if I am in sickness, it will serve him. In perplexity, it will serve him. He does nothing in vain. With God our Father, nothing is wasted. But it's hard when we're tired. I remember when I had prayed and prayed, we were in our adoption process, and at that time was just praying for our baby that we were adopting, and then we found out we were pregnant. Concurrently at the same time, my dad was receiving radiation and chemotherapy, and I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to offer up my morning sickness as I get up 2 a.m. every day, drive to Cleveland, do a morning show, and all day feel nauseous. You know, it's the smells, it's everything, the fatigue, and I'm going to offer this up for my dad. And I felt like a miserable failure. I was complaining all the time. I was mad, like you said, angry. And so it really is like the CIA level of special missions for those who are called to holiness. When you're sick, when you're called into chronic illness or something, but yet I think the graces and the spiritual redemptive aspect of it is all the more potent. But for you now, and going through all of that and understanding the maturity as you talked about, how do you pray when you're sick and like what you just went through?
There were times that were unbelievably intimate. In something I read, and it was because I wasn't in a hurry. I wasn't thinking, okay, I've got 15 minutes and then I have to do this. You know, all of those departments that we put our life in because of the to-do list or obligations. So it was like, I'll just use the word steep. When you put a tea bag in and it steeps in the hot water and the flavor fully goes into the water because you allow it time. And that did happen. It did happen during that time.
I love, though, your analogy of the sacred steeping, because that's so not where I am right now. I mean, the tea bag isn't even dipped in because it's so crazy. There's no stillness. There's no. And so sometimes you see the blessing and being knocked flat.
Right.
And just not having any other choice but to receive and the blessing that comes
from
that.
But I think the other thing that happens when you are forced or sidelined like that, it brings back memories. And I remember a couple of times that I was so sick when the kids were little. And doesn't matter. You know, you have to take care of them because...
That's what you do.
That's what you do. Yeah. And we didn't have family close by us. I just remember how difficult that was. Somehow you get through it. And but it makes you look back and say, oh, thank God for that.
Yeah, I know that we've talked about this on the podcast before, but as you're talking, it reminds me, and we've talked about this meditation from Father Edward Hayes, how you're supposed to put your prescription bottles up there. And when you're better, you leave the empty bottles there and praise God for the gift of recovery. And I mean, this is way TMI, but he even says when you have a positive bowel movement, I mean, thank God that your body works way it's designed, because we don't even think about it. We don't know what we have till it's gone. And that's something that Pastor Linda and Isaiah talked about in a recent podcast as well. But it kind of brings me into the segue of a circumstance that happened earlier this week. And I was angry that you were sick because you were supposed to go with us to the Sorrowful Mother Shrine, hallowed ground that is the oldest shrine in the Midwest dedicated to Mary. And scores of immigrants from all over would pilgrimage to this place, including our own family for generations. I don't know if you would be willing to just give a little snapshot of the shrine, which is about 2 hours from where we live in the Akron-Canton area of Ohio.
My mom was, my dad too, but my mom would pack a picnic and take us kids, especially for August 15th.
Of the Feast of the Assumption.
Hundreds and hundreds of people, and everybody singing and walking out to the Grotto, Our Lady of Lourdes. It was a heavenly happy.
Yes,
as a child.
It's scattered. It's a large area in a field, really. And yet there's wooded paths,
right.
And there's grottos and shrines. There's an outdoor church. There's a beautiful chapel. So it's not just one spot, but there's the Stations of the Cross, a lot of different devotions from Our Lady of Częstochowa to Our Lady of Fatima, a statue of Our Lady, the Feast of the Assumption. I just imagine the footprints over the century, well, not centuries, it was 1800s, 19th century that it was built. But I was trying to tell the kids that as we were going. And one thing I wanted to share, which if you follow me on social media, you know this, but I can't not tell you what happened. We had a beautiful day, a 2-hour drive. So we're listening to the 1950s music, which is super fun. And one of the rare things that everybody in the car, from my almost 16-year-old down to Gus, seems to enjoy. Carolina, of course, too. And it's all the good ones. It's Splish Splash and Good Golly Miss Molly and Tutti Frutti, Bye Bye Love. I mean, just the classics. Like, happy classics. So we've got that going on. We roll up. I gotta kind of, in a threatening yet gentle way, give the pep talk to the kids that it's just me and all five. I don't know how Carolina's going to do, so I need them to be reverent, just giving them the whole spiel of why it matters that we're at a place like this and what they can possibly receive from coming here. And we're not just going to go and look at the statues and say, that's great, and recite some rote prayers, but I want you to still your heart and really open yourself up and contemplate and take in the beauty of the sky and the breeze and everything that you see, the cloud of mosquitoes. It's all good. It's all God's. So right away we pull up, because there's a visitor center, then there's a gift shop. I'm just such a sucker for Catholic gift shops. I just am. It's funny, because when I was working with a woman on the Ireland retreat, she said, can you believe they were actually like selling crosses and stuff? And I was like, heck yes. I mean, for us, that's just a part of, something we like. So we get there. And of course, we don't worship, the statues and things, but as we would put pictures of people we love on our walls, we put the statues of those that inspire us. And so we walked in and I told the boy, I'm like, oh, this is just a recipe for disaster, because there were a lot of little tchotchkes, trinkets, books, which typically is not a situation that Carolina does well in. She, if it's the library, if it's a gift shop, she will run. She'll get in there and just run like a madwoman. Unless there's a cart, she does really well then. But it's not, for me, a relaxing scenario. So I said, make it quick. We're just going to get in and out. Maybe if all is well, we'll go in at the end and maybe scope out what you might want to get. We'll see. So she goes in and immediately goes over to a pretty large, sizable statue of Jesus that was not cheap either. I mean, it's like painted nice, and it's the one where he's sitting there with children on his knee, on his lap, and she is fixated. So she goes over, she's rubbing his hair. Jesus, Jesus. She's kissing the children, and there's an older woman there who's trying to make conversation with Carolina. Well, you're so pretty. I like your dress. How old are you? And Carolina is, she's not going to have a reciprocal conversation. So I just briefly said, oh, this is Carolina and she loves Jesus. I said, well, she has autism, so she's mostly nonverbal, but because I didn't want her to feel like, why isn't this kid talking to me? So needless to say, that was the beginning of a totally unexpected situation. All the boys were gathered because they were realizing that we were going to need to go. And as she was standing there, she paused for a minute and she said, she really likes that statue, doesn't she? And I said, yeah. I said, she loves Jesus. And she said, would you want to have that? And I thought she was going to say for a discount. But no, she said, do you want, just take it. She said, do you have room in your vehicle? Could you take that? And I didn't know what to say. It was like a moment that you,
I hear her correctly?
Yeah, right. And the boys are all with their mouth open.
Okay.
And then the tears started to well up. And so we said, oh, are you sure? I said, are you sure about 20 times? And she said, no, well, this is what God does. And she said, this is what this place does. This is what this shrine does. And knowing how often Grandma went, knowing the heritage of our own family at this shrine, wishing that you would have been there, but then realizing we were supposed to come today. It was supposed to be this way. It was really powerful because I felt as if it wasn't just her gifting us the statue, but the Lord saying, I love you. I love Carolina. This is for her. This is for you. Your family's with you. And kind of like you talked about our heavenly relatives in heaven rooting us on. And this was a moment where I felt galvanized and graced. So it was really cool. The funny thing is in the back trunk, it was in the, we have this huge double stroller. So we're trying to get this giant statue in the trunk. We've got this double stroller in there. And Jesus is like, every time I look in my rearview mirror, I just see this giant Jesus head. And there was at one point in the drive, there was a guy really riding our tail. And I looked back in the back and I'm like, I just see Jesus. I mean, I have to see him as Jesus because that's all I can see.
No stress there.
Yeah. And then with us listing our home, the realtor had said, look, if you've got an inordinate amount of religious items or family pictures, just remove them. So I kind of chuckle because I have this giant Jesus statue that by our home altar. So I'm actually wondering, well, should I take it? I was thinking maybe I should take it out. I don't know.
Heavens, no. You keep it there. And if the house is to sell, someone will be so attracted to see that, that it will seal the deal.
Well, I agree. Yeah. So we have to get there. We have to go there at some point. Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show. And
happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Don't forget your surfboard when you leave.
Aloha.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting, big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Lots of favorite things lately. By the way, thank you again to my mom. She is always my favorite thing. But I wanted to tell you about a book. So if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you have heard me talk about Brennan Manning. He was a very good friend of Rich Mullins. He has a really interesting history in that he was a Franciscan monk for a while. Then he left the church and was married. Then he found his faith. Was a recovering alcoholic, but basically has been there, done that in terms of many life experiences, carrying crosses, the feeling and understanding of redemption and God's love. And so he's the inspiration for a lot of singer-songwriters. And I've read some of his stuff. I've watched a lot of his YouTube talks, but only recently, one of the new things that I wanted to share on the new favorite things list is his book. It's called The Furious Longing of God. And as I was scrubbing the toilet, trying to keep the house in show condition, and please pray for me about that because I'm about to lose my mind up in here. It has been actually a saving grace to be able to listen to this. The Furious Longing of God is a book that Brennan Manning wrote. And in the description, it says, it is a love story for the brokenhearted, for those who feel they can never measure up. And I was really attracted to this because there's a situation in my own life with a family member that I struggle with in terms of on forgiveness. And Brennan Manning has such a gift of cracking open his chest, exposing his heart, and laying it out there in a very beautiful, practical way. I just wanted to pull a couple of the quotes that touched me. He says, if you took the love of all the best mothers and fathers who lived in the course of human history, all their goodness, kindness, patience, fidelity, wisdom, tenderness, strength, and love, and united all of those qualities in one single person, that person's love would only be a faint shadow of the furious love and mercy in the heart of God the Father addressed to you and me at this moment. Jesus came not only for those who skip morning meditations, but also for real sinners, thieves, adulterers, terrorists, for those caught up in squalid choices and failed dreams. I have come to call not the self-righteous, but the sinners. And of course, that's Matthew 9:13. And the introduction is really powerful because he talks about being an alcoholic, being on the streets and holding his tequila bottle, and at one point being in such a state that a mother shielded her child from his presence, kicked him in the side, and broke two ribs of his. So it's really cool because even though I don't have time right now in the heat of the summer, in the busyness of cleaning the house, to really sit and read, this audiobook on YouTube has been fantastic. So I would chalk it up. I will say it's really challenging. I mean, there are some things, because I did seem to hear an undercurrent, just a little bit, a subtlety of anti-church or rituals per se. And for me, my defenses go up because I believe that it all fits together. And so I did some research because I just want to be careful. I want to know who I'm reading. I want to study. And I just wanted to share this with you because it's interesting about Brennan Manning is he's not accepted in all Protestant circles because of his history as a Catholic. And some Catholics don't like him because he left religious life. So it's kind of him caught in the middle. But boy, you can really hear his heart in this book. And I wanted to read one thing that I found helpful when I was researching him. And it's actually on a forum from Catholic Answers, which I consider a good solid source. It says this: one of my best friends produced a biographical documentary on Brennan Manning, during the course of which he had the opportunity to spend time with him personally. Contrary to what some people may say or believe, Brennan Manning is still Catholic. It's true that he is an ex-priest, but he is not an ex-Catholic nor anti-Catholic. But what I think Manning, in the little bit that I've been able to read and study, is trying to say that unless we have the faith of a little child, unless we understand the person of Christ and how he loves us and what it means to be adopted sons and daughters, that we are grafted onto his side, regenerated by baptism. Unless we understand that, then the rituals and some of the prayers and some of the dogma perhaps may be empty. And I think therein lies a push button area of why some people and many do leave the church, because they never had that burning fire of love that was where everything else stems from. And that's what I think he does a good job of, is helping us see how God loves us in such a magnanimous way. Would love to know your thoughts on that. It's called The Furious Longing of God. Okay, friends, well, God bless you as you prepare for back to school. I feel like whenever August comes, it's an instant flip in my mind, and I go into this robotic planning schedule mode and just transitioning. We're going to be there before you know it. For those of you with kids in school, it's coming, it's happening, it's here really quick. I'm going to do my best too. I have a trip coming up that I'm super excited about. It actually came about because I have this free Delta plane ticket that is almost going to expire. I was hoping to use it back earlier this year to visit the Regina Laudis Abbey, which is something my dream, my heart is still out there in Connecticut to do. But in the meantime, I had a great deal, and I am going to be using it to go somewhere for my birthday on a little getaway that budget and time-wise just happened to work out. So I'm excited to tell you about that. And with the traveling, with the house on sale, there may be a week break in the next few podcasts. So if that happens, I'll reach out via Facebook, but at least you know what's going on. In the meantime, though, I hope you will check out the Arise page. Tell a friend if you're thinking about it. If you want to go and bring a friend, we would love for you to be a part of it. And have you left a review on iTunes about this podcast? If you are a listener, if you regularly regularly download the program, I just ask you to consider leaving a note so other people can get an understanding of this podcast and hopefully why you like it. Just go to iTunes and you can leave a review. Thank you to every single one of our Good Things Radio Podbean patrons. Easy to support the program this way so that we can bring you information, guests, movies, interviews, and more events like this. This podcast is really the landing page for all of that. And I think as the Holy Spirit is working, fostering a community of women and men, believers as well. So if you want to be a Podbean patron of the show, all you need to do is click on the show notes and you can donate any amount, a dollar, 20 bucks. No amount is too small. No amount is too large. And we still pray for every single one of our Podbean patrons. To one of our Podbean patrons, good friends of the show, recently moving from California all the way to Maryland. Hopefully she'll share the story, but definitely a praise report and just a blessing to be a part of your lives as well. Thank you for being there and keeping our show going and growing. Also, thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. Very gifted, wearing many hats. If you have any production needs, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. In sickness, in health, for better or for worse, we know our beloved walks with us. I pray you feel his presence in your life today, friends. Until next time, God bless you.